And if you can hear me, go ahead and type a yes. And if I'm coming through here loud and clear, and if I don't see any yeses yet, but if you're hearing me, my sound coming through, go ahead and post yes and amen. And we'll go ahead and get started. Now, the title of the room tonight is Age of Grace Contrasted with Instances of God's Grace. And if you have a King James Bible and have a computer program or an ability to research words, we have information that is recorded in Scripture. In Isaiah 28:10, he says that precept must be upon precept, and line upon line, here a little and there a little. If you take the words of God, and what you do is take the words and look at them, each instance they're used, you'll have a commentary upon the Bible itself. And I want to think about this for a second here. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. When you think about this, we're to compare Scripture with Scripture. Scripture cannot be broken. Now, when we read passages, we understand there's a Garden of Eden program, a program that started back in the garden at creation, and there's different things that happen through the Bible. And you and I would agree that they're not all for one time period. There was a time when there was a Garden of Eden, a physical Garden of Eden. But what you can do with your Bible is take the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, and you'll find that word 163 times, 163 times in the Bible. And what we want to do is look at the instances of the mentioning of grace compared to the age of grace. The Word of God gives us information in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. And that is where Paul says, he says in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 3, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Second verse, he says, If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. Some people haven't heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to Paul, to us ward. And it's called the grace of God, and it was a dispensation that was given to the Apostle Paul. Down in verse 7, Paul says, was in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 7, and what we see in there, Paul talks about being made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, we also saw, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward. And Paul had a message that God gave him called the revelation of the mystery. And verse 3 of Ephesians 3 tells us that, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. And when we read this information, we see Paul speaking here, and he's telling us of information that he has, and he says some had not heard it. And where are people today that don't understand the mystery that Paul preached? They are caught up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 talks about how that the God of this world hath blinded the minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. We see the God of the world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We see today it's not blinded eyes that are the problem, it is the mind. The mind. And what does Paul tell us to be renewed in? He tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So it's in the mind we need to have a renewed spirit. And in Titus 3:5, he tells us, not by works. And these verses you'll hear a lot of from Paul are Titus 3:5, he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and regeneration of the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We see today where Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9, he says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, there are several different mentions of instances of grace in contrast with the teachings of the age of grace. And just to name a few, there's such a thing as called find grace, found grace, and there's another thing called space grace. And I believe if a person today, I kid you when I say this, but space grace is somebody that doesn't understand what the age of grace is about. And that's not what it is. I'm kidding you when I say that, but it's found in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 8. And my wife thought I was kidding her about space grace, but it's in the Bible. And then the word obtained grace is in there also. And then in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, there is a thing called the Spirit of grace. And in 1 Peter 1:10, we'll back up here to Ezra 9:8 though, and it says, and now for a little space grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. You know, when you think of space grace, it sounds like a funny thing, but there's a word, and we see this talked about here. And when we understand what Paul's message is regarding the age of grace, in contrast to instances of grace, not an age of grace, but instances of grace. And it helps us to understand what's going on in the Word of God and why it was that way. There's a thing called prophesied grace, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. We think of what we see in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 10, and prophesied grace. Would prophesied grace of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, would that be something that Paul would be talking about, or would that come from the prophets? That would come from the prophets. And he says in 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who have prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, and this is going to be the problem. If you don't understand what, and this is not going to Peter now, but in the book of Peter, it's talking about prophesied information. We need to compare that with passages such as Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and through 21. There were things that were written in the prophets, and we covered some of the things in Ephesians chapter 3, the things that were not made known. And when we see that here in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And in verse number 20 and verse 21, we also see information that's recorded there regarding information that was made known in the prophets since the world began. And when you see this being made known since the world began, you see this Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ here, Acts 3:20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And when you come to verse 21, you will see whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So you would tie Peter's information, prophetic and you would tie that into that message of information there. Now, many instances of grace, not the age of grace, but separating the age of grace from the instance of grace that God demonstrated down through Scripture. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, we come to the manifold grace verse. And can you hear me still here? It says he went off again, so got a clearer thing here. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, there's a manifold grace of God. And when we see the manifold grace of God, we see that Paul's message is referred to as the age of grace. And there's 163 recorded words grace. And if you look in your Bible and you look in there and find 163 times the word grace is used. And if you take a look at the instances that it is used, it is amazing. The first time the word grace is used in the Word of God is in Genesis chapter 6. And in that verse, it talks about Noah. Noah wasn't in the age of grace, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis chapter 6 in verse 8 says, but Noah found grace. He says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when we see this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, we don't see an age of grace mentioned, but we see Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah wasn't in an age of grace. What do you think would have happened to Noah if he hadn't built an ark? We're not to look at what may have happened, but look at the words that are recorded for us. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 19, we see information recorded there. And some of this information will be very helpful for us tonight and to look at, because it helps people understand, it helps us understand that what Abraham was involved in was not being talked about by Paul in the same manner as people think it was. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 19, he says, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Now, this is finding and found grace in thy sight. And it's very interesting when we compare these scriptures like this. You're seeing that it's not an age of grace that is being made known, it is instances of separate graces that God has for people that find that grace in His sight. And to quote a verse of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 and verse 30, he says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 30 that he saves some by faith and others through faith. And these people back here, we saw Noah. What did Noah have to do to find grace in the eyes of God? He had to build an ark. And when he built this ark, what do you think happened? He found grace. He found grace, didn't he? He found grace in God's sight. And that's what it's all about. And we're not in Noah's grace today. We are in a specific group of information that God provided, and it's called the Gospel of the Grace of God. It's a total dispensation where people are saved. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. People today are saved by grace through faith, and that not of themselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. When you check and study each of these instances of grace and bring it in to contrast with what Paul teaches about an age of grace, you see some very interesting information. Hopefully here we can take the Word of God tonight and go through these. We're not going to go through all of them, but I want us to understand the doing some contrast work here with the Word of God about being saved, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And there's the through faith, which would agree with the uncircumcision through faith. It is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. By faith, people had to do things. By faith, they found grace in the eyes of God, and they were finding grace. They weren't in the age of grace. I want to emphasize that enough that we see a difference here. And I want to put these things forth from the Word of God. And in Esther chapter 2 and verse number 17, Esther chapter 2 and verse 17, and we see that Esther and the king, the verse says, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. We see obtained grace, we see grace spoken of, not in age of grace. And this is really what I want to drive home as a point tonight, is that we would see instances of grace, finding grace, but yet we are not seeing an age of grace. And that's what I really want to call our attention to. And like I said, over 160 times we see this used in the Word of God. And I can't overemphasize how important it is to study this age of grace in contrast to instances of grace. I want to look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 2 and take a look at that. And that's a very helpful verse. And it says that we stand in grace. We stand in grace. And that would go along with what Paul said about 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, about the gospel. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, we see, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, Paul gives the Corinthians the gospel again. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved. And he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which ye also received, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But he says back there in those verses, wherein we stand, and by which also you're saved. When you read Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, you see that there, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. This is not instances of grace. And very interesting when we see these things. And this is what we stand in, and this is what we believe. You can't miss this. If you don't understand what Paul is saying in this day and age, you will misunderstand what's being said in the Word of God. The evidence of this is a warning that Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Then he provides some very powerful information in verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That hidden grace gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul by direct revelation was what the Lord Jesus Christ used to resurrect. It was his words. It was the Lord's words, but they were hid and not made known until they were revealed to the Apostle Paul. That would agree with what was taught in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, about what Peter wrote, that what the Lord Jesus Christ had been before preached unto them, and he said, which was made known in the prophets since the world began, and Paul's information would be the information of Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. And that would be information that was kept secret since the world began. Now, Romans 16 and verse 25, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What are the next words? Which was kept secret since the world began. And we see people having a trouble with this, and they don't understand what the Apostle Paul is saying. And it's a difficult thing when people have been involved in traditional, conventional covenant teaching all their life to be confronted with such things as they think that the whole Bible says one thing. And there is one Jesus in the Bible. The problem is there are many different gospels in the Bible. And if you were in the Garden of Eden, which you weren't, but the plan back there was don't eat off a certain tree. And then that diet changed once they left the garden. And once Noah got off on dry land, it changed again. And then we see Moses coming on the scene, a different diet. And Peter was observing that diet. Today, the Bible tells us that whatever we pray for is sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. So what we see is we see different information in the Bible, and that's why we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this information helped me to have a Bible that I could read and understand, and I can see different plans for different people in the Word of God. For in this time period we're in today, let me not be confusing. Everybody is saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved. The salvation that's done today is salvation by grace through faith. And that would be that 1 Corinthians 15 gospel. And what Paul said, by which also you're saved and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in what? In memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And he tells them Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that's the gospel. That is the gospel that's talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, isn't it interesting today? That open, free gift of grace, the age of grace, is here. We're not trying to do finding or have found grace in the eyes of God. We happen to be in an age of grace. In Romans, and we'll spend some time in Romans here, Romans chapter 5, and back in verse 2, and we're going to take a look at that information that's recorded there in Romans 5:2 again. Paul says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That grace wherein we stand today. Interesting. We're standing in grace today. We're not trying to find or found grace. We are standing in grace. We're not trying to obtain grace, but we are standing in grace. And it was done by grace through faith. That would be the information of 1 Timothy 2:4, which tells us the Lord Jesus Christ, He will have all men to bathe and then come to the knowledge of the truth. And the knowledge of the truth is what we'd be about here tonight, knowing the truth that's in place today, knowing what is in place today. Not to have the loudest shout, not to have the prettiest song, not to make the biggest splash, but have our Bible instructing us and giving us information that we can take and use on a daily basis. Something that's not a pep rally, something that works. And that's why we study the Word of God that way. In Romans chapter 5, in verse number 15, we see, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto how many? One at a time? No, it says unto many. Many. Many are benefited by this gift. And it's called the grace of God. And that's wherein we stand, as we saw in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 17, it says, the scriptures tell us, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one man, much more they which receive abundance of what? Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. See, righteousness is imputed to you today. It's a gift. When God looks at you, He sees you with the righteousness that He has imputed unto you if you believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ did, His death, burial, and resurrection. That would agree with the second verse of Romans chapter 5, wherein we stand, by which also you're saved. And that's what we stand in, this grace gospel. And we saw that in verse number 17. If one man's offense, death reigned by one, and much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Doesn't the book of Romans tell us that He imputes to us righteousness? Wouldn't that agree with Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 32, where He says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And the next part of that verse says it all. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, all of our sins were future when the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody hearing this message today in this room, every one of us, all of our sins were future when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for us. So we stand in grace today, and it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's referred to as a dispensation. It's referred to as a time period that's in place today that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Not instances of grace, but the grace of God. Now, back in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20, we see that the law entered. In verse 20 of Romans chapter 5, it says that we have, moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but wherein sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See what we see there. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We have an abounding grace today, and when the Lord blesses us, not out of His riches and glory, but according to. He's not He's not a God that doesn't have a plan in place. He's blessed us according to Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, we have been entrusted with the heavenly program as believers today. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the heavenlies. We're going up, and we've got things that we're going to take care of up there. And then there's an earthly program down here. And as we look at the grace that we're studying tonight, I hope that we can see some things that show us some contrast between the message of the gospel, the grace of God, compared to instances of grace. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 21, Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by who? By Jesus Christ our Lord. Who's it by? It's by Jesus Christ our Lord. So that grace and the righteousness, grace through righteousness unto eternal life by who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So would agree the words of Ephesians 4:32. That God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What we need to look at here, and this is where people have ultimate confusion when they come to these passages. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 5, this is going to be a problem for a lot of people. Romans chapter 11 and verse 5. People come to verses such as Romans 11 and verse 5. And they make Paul's message, they apply this, and they don't understand that God is doing a works with Israel in the future, but it's not according to the age of grace that we see in place now. And in the book of Romans chapter 11 and verse 5, we see what's recorded there. Romans 11:5 tells us, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Does that say age of grace or election of grace? It says election of grace. Election of grace, not age of grace. There's dealing with Israel here. And people get hung up on these things real bad. And that's what we see that takes place. Look at Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 16. And Romans 4:16, we see in Romans 4:16, we're going to take a look at some verses that tie together, Romans 11:5 and Romans 4:16. And when we take a look at these, we find some information that may be helpful in seeing some things that people have trouble dealing with. And we see in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, we need to stop there and look at this, what we're seeing here. We've been talking about grace, not the age of grace here. We've talked about the age of grace for us today. But as you read Romans chapter 11 and verse 5 and Romans 4:16, it's talking about election of grace, and grace that is upon... Is Abraham our father today? Of course not. How do you know that? What information would help you and I know that? Because when Paul explains Abraham, he doesn't explain him as our father. When you read in Ephesians chapter 2, you take a look at Scripture, what it tells us, and we see that when we come into verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter 2, he talks about at that time. So if we want to find out about that time, we have to go back to verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." Verse 12 says, "That at that time ye were with" what? "Without Christ," and what? "Strangers." What does he say here? "Being aliens and strangers from the commonwealth of Israel." Where we were, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, what Paul's preaching is the message found in verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh" by what? "By the blood of Christ." And we see this information here. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." But now, when you read about Abraham and you see what's mentioned about him in Romans chapter 11 and verse 5, it talks about an election of grace, not an age of grace. Election of grace, not age of grace. And in Romans 4:16, he says, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed." We have nothing to do with that. So when Paul teaches about that, we see that he's not referring to us. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1. We'll take a look at this here. And when we get into this here, it's a good thing to try to take some notes down. And if questions arise, you may have never heard this before. The brothers and sisters that are around regular grace teaching can appreciate some of these things. But it may be new information for you. But in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, he says here, the Word of God to the Apostle Paul for us today says, What shall we say then that Abraham, our father," and when I say our father, I don't want to go back there and just what I said, Abraham is not our father. We come to the chief cornerstone according to Paul's wise master building program. In Romans chapter 4, you see what Paul's doing, and he is talking. He is taking people, and when he's done with them, you end up with a Romans 3:23 being active. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The circumcision didn't keep it. They didn't do what they were supposed to, and it didn't work out. And the Gentiles who had not God in their hearts, they did things better than the Jews were doing them. Now, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found?" What did he find? He found grace, did he not? And what was it? "It was counted unto him for righteousness," because it was counted, and he found grace. If you go back into Genesis and look at those scriptures back there, you're going to see that he found grace. It wasn't an age of grace. That's not what it was about. Now, when we see these things, it helps us understand what is in place. And to take these things and to study them, and to study the instances of grace, and to study the age of grace, just kind of think with me here for a second. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 1, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to, verse 7, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Was Paul trying to find grace when he was on the road to Damascus? Was he really doing that? When you go back into Acts and you see Paul on the road to Damascus and he was rounding up Christians, or I should say he was rounding up people that were part of Peter's program, and is that what was going on? Was he seeking God? Was he trying to find information there? No, he wasn't. He was going on a tangent, doing what he thought was right. And was he trying to find grace? No, the Lord blinded him, didn't he? And what did he show him? And if you miss what Paul says, you're going to miss what Paul said. And Paul warned you and I in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. He says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. If you don't understand the consideration that you and I need to give Paul, you're going to miss the according to the gift of grace given to Paul, and you're going to have a mind that's blinded to grace teaching that is in place today. You're going to be mixing little pieces of grace from time past and ages to come with what's going on in the age of grace. And when you come to Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 7, he says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. And he says here, the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And this information is not to be confused with things that was written in the prophets. We saw verses tonight that told us that in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. In those verses there, you can see that was information which was preached about Jesus Christ, not according to mystery, but according to prophetic information. What we preach is that of Romans 16:25. We preach according to information that was kept secret since the world began. In fact, in Titus chapter 1, he says, Paul, a servant of God, in the first three verses, he says, Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised when? Before the world began. Peter was in Acts 3:19 telling them that your sins may be blotted out. May be blotted out. Isn't that interesting? What did Paul teach in Colossians 2:10? Ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. What does he say? He says you're complete. You're not waiting for your sins to be blotted out. And if you understand that you're in an age of grace, the gift of grace of God given unto Paul by the effectual working of his power, in fact, words that the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Would you stand there toe-to-toe and tell God that, well, yeah, I heard what Paul said, but I grew up in this church and learned this information and thought I knew it, and that's not what's in place, my friend, today. The place of information today that you and I need to have our information coming from is from the message that's in place from Paul as the wise master builder. And it's information that is doctrine for today. And we see that in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, where he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, verse the next verse there, verse 17, he says that he talks about perfection or completion, that we may be complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And that's what we want to do today. We want to understand the message that is in place. And I can't emphasize enough, when you go back into prior books of from Genesis, the first recording of the word of grace comes on in Genesis 6:8, and the last time grace is mentioned in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 21. And this is 163 times recorded in Scripture. And when you take a look at these instances of grace, I would recommend that you would take and get you either a concordance, and if you're on a computer, you can get a King James Bible, and you can get a program that'll help you to research the words, and you can see the instances where God uses the word grace. And I just want to go through a few verses here that the Apostle Paul records. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, records for us today. And Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. And most people just take these as words from of very little meaning, as common speech words. But Romans 16:20 says, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." What's with us today? The grace. It's not being found or sought after. It's here. What does he say in Titus 2:11? "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Romans chapter 16 and verse 24, the Lord tells us in his word through Paul, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Grace be unto you and peace." From who? Why could Paul say, "Grace be unto you"? You know why Paul could say, "Grace be unto you"? Because what is he to us today? He is our pattern. Is Paul your pattern today? Are you patterned after Paul? Or are you patterning your life after Peter? Maybe you mean well. It's not the meaning that's important here. It's to be operating Scripture that is in place today. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 16. When you read verses like this and you see them, you see, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Grace be unto you and peace." How did he know about it? He got a direct revelation from the Lord to us today. When he said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ," we see that information. In 1 Corinthians 1:4, Paul said, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, you see, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a..." He was a pattern, wasn't he? And he was a what? "As a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Are you building today according to prophecy? Or are you building according to mystery? Do you understand that you're not in little pieces of grace that were found and being finding and found and obtaining? You're not obtaining grace. You are according to, as 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me That would be the same Paul that wrote about that in Ephesians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians 10:30, Paul says, "For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks?" You know, we preach this message here and teach this kind of a message, and we see people come into the room that they have trouble dealing with it. And that would go along with the words of 2 Timothy 2, 7, 8, 9, and 10, where Paul said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer." What was he suffering trouble as an evildoer for? Because of what he said about consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. What did he say in verses 8 and 9? Or verse 9 and 10, he says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." We see these things here. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me," it was bestowed upon Paul, interesting, "was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the what? But the grace of God which was with me." And in verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians 16:23 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." These are not just hallelujah, jump up and down verses and saying nice things in a Christian way. Do you understand that when 1 Corinthians 16:23 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you"? And what does he say in 2 Corinthians 1:2? "Grace be to you and peace." From who? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives us the rejoicing that we have in Christ. And we have rejoicing not with fleshly wisdom, but with simplicity and godly sincerity. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward." You know, when we have abundant grace, we can be thankful. When we understand what grace is, we don't have the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, "We then, as workers together with them, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Isn't it interesting? We see 2 Corinthians 8:1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." These are more than just salutations saying goodbye and things like that. But when we read verses like Galatians 1:3, we can see, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." What does this help us to do? It helps us to accomplish what is in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2:13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope." Looking for, Titus chapter 2 verse 13, he says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." He's a great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's not only God, but He's Savior. And what are we looking for? We're looking for Him. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Titus 2:11, we see the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Doing what? Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What helps us to do that? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, who gave Himself for us, That's that love of Christ that constrains us. That's that love of Christ that will constrain us. What does he do? He constrains us to what? To have a purpose that's centered around him through teaching, learning from the Word of God, and believing what's in place today. That's why it's so important as we study grace to understand what we have. We don't have little bits and pieces of grace. We are in the age of grace. And that's what I've done my best tonight to show you. We didn't look at all 163, didn't even come close to looking at all 163 recorded instances spoken of in Scripture. But we see that we need not to frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But if you don't understand what Paul's saying, you'll mix the law and you'll mix grace. And we see the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that's what's in place today. I'd encourage you to look up the instances of 163 places in the Word of God where it's used and see that we're not in instances of grace. We are in what's called the age of grace. And you can find that and read more about it in Ephesians chapter 3 and understand that Paul had a special message to us today. You and I and everybody saved today have a special place, and it's called the body of Christ. It has information that we are to follow to mature, where there's one Lord, there's one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of gift of Christ. And we have something in place today that is very special. And if you've never trusted Christ tonight, some people come in these rooms that are not trusting Christ, and they mix what God has multi and different have received different things for and salvation. Wherein ye may it never be sand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you have trusted that, if you believe that word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were taken when upon believing. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized, by the Spirit, not anything else, but by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There's no favoritism today in the body of Christ for Jews or for Gentiles. They're all one in the body of Christ. And who is the head of that body? Christ. And you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. And Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. If you and I aren't studying our Bibles today according to right division of time past, but now ages to come, to be able to tell people that, oh no, it's not Abraham's program that's in place, it is God's grace totally by his merits and his works, the finished work on the cross of Calvary, that it's the blood of Christ that makes you clean from all sin, and it's imputed righteousness you get, and God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't mix the law and don't mix grace. Don't mix law and don't mix grace. That's all I'd like to say. And I hope you enjoyed this tonight. I hope that you took some information down. You may have some questions.